Here we go with episode 2F18, 2001 Greyhounds, originally broadcast April 9th, 1995. I'm Matt Groening, creator of Bender.
Ooh, a whole different series here. David Merkin, executive producer and co-creator of Get a Life. And executive.
That's right. Give your credits.
Give our credits. Oh, no, go on too long. Executive producer, showrunner of The Simpsons.
Mike Scully, writer and co-creator of The Pitts and Complete Savages. Hold your applause.
Yay! Yeah.
Oh, you said
Bob Anderson, director, and this is all I do.
This is a perfect example of how good Bob is. What happens here, it's a really funny joke, but I just love the way the rhino decimates the crowd. It's something that's just perfect animation here and what you can do. You can never do it live that well. That perfectly coordinated.
That's a good rhino.
Isn't that a good rhino?
Who broke my vase? Who took all my test papers off the refrigerator and tore...
And lots of good work here, Bob, on the dogs. There's lots of animals in this, and they're all really rendered very lovable and very real and funny at the same time. And lovely writing by Mr. Scully here as well.
Oh, some of my loveliest. Actually, I think the story for this came... Well, it came from Disney, I guess, but I think...
don't mention Disney, don't...
D-I-Z-N-E-E.
Yeah, that's right.
Al Jean and Mike Reese, I believe, had the original idea for this.
And as you know, Al Jean and Mike Reese, they like to steal from Disney. They did Mary Bobbins, which I think comes in the future from this one, but also another great show. Yeah, it's a great form to kind of take the Disney stuff and do darker versions of them in a completely legal way.
Okay, so I know there's a big thing in cartoons and sometimes even in The Simpsons of having animals behave with sort of semi-human awareness. But I love it when the animals behave exactly the way animals do. And this episode is full of that. It's great. I know there's some exceptions for gags. But.
Yeah, we now and again, I mean, we've even had, like, in the Stampy show, which had a lot of real behavior of the elephant and everything, we had the cat and the dog were feeling ignored, and they eventually learned to say, I love you, in a very tortured way. But, yeah, in general, we'd only pick to do that at moments. And most of the time, we try and keep the animals real. That's exactly the way cables put into people's houses, and all you have to do is pull on it, and that exact thing will happen.
Your cable TV is experiencing difficulties.
This is a nice joke, and I like the performance of Hank Azaria's Wiggum here when he looks down and sees that he really doesn't have any genitalia anymore.
And useless.
Well, I'll be damned.
All our pets are flushable. Great sign gag.
And this, you know, we've done this, and I haven't mentioned it, but Hank loves this William Daniels voice. William Daniels, a version of him who was on Knight Rider, the voice of Kit the Car, and on ER, and on my favorite all-time movie, The Graduate, huge movie, and William Daniels is brilliant, funny, and great actor, and that's kind of the voice that Hank takes now and again for these characters.
Also on Captain Knife.
This is the exact Spock Star Trek music. I'm a giant Star Trek freak of the first series, because that's my age, and it's just that's still the best series, the funniest series. Nobody's funnier than William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. Just great cast, and the music and the production. It's just all amazing stuff. So whenever it's possible, I steal terribly from that and put it in. That's from the Terminator and the Terminator music. In there.
Oh, is that? Oh.
Yes.
Look, he's headed back to the Greyhound racing track.
An open aquarium in the front seat. That's a good
Terminator 2, obviously, not Terminator 1. Don't get upset, nerds.
So, I have to say, I was really happy with this show because it's a callback to the very first episode. It's also references to 101 Dalmatians, which thrilled me as a kid, and it's one of the reasons why I got into animation.
Oh,
because in cartooning, because the idea of cartoons was completely I was obsessed by, but specifically with 101 Dalmatians, because the puppies were watching TV in the course of the movie.
That's right,
and that that idea, the idea that you could have a cartoon within a cartoon, thrilled me, and I never forgot it, and that's where Itchy and Scratchy came from. And
we do that exact scene in this one.
Yes.
Yes. Now, this was a thing I wanted to do, and it was a big fight with the censors, and people in the room were worried about it too. But I knew we could shoot it in a way where we could kind of have dogs having sex,
carefully.
Yeah.
I think it was a little worse than the animatic.
Matt never realized that. Yes.
I think it was one, as I recall, in the animatic, there was a more graphic version.
There was. I think I was very specific about how to do it, but Bob took us a little further than maybe we wanted.
Does that
to
still
go.
Exist?
Trying to
maybe
push the envelope
on the DVD
a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe
what do you guys,
should
what do you
put
guys
the
do
real
with
dirty
that
stuff on the DVD. You're right. Mike.
Yes,
that's a good idea.
It was a giant laugh in the screening. I remember when we saw it.
And there is a great line that he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of racing." Right? He says,
"She's yours now."
Also, this is that's Dan Castellaneta playing the rich Texan, as we call him.
Is that his first appearance? Or
I don't know if it's his first appearance.
I think so.
Is it?
I don't.
I'm not sure.
I think it is.
I think he's evolved a little bit from then.
He has. Yeah. We've made him more Texan-esque.
Oh, you know what? In front of the house, all right? Hey, what did I just say?
Now, this is all the 101 Dalmatians. It was also a movie that I absolutely adored.
Well, this is Lady and the Tramp.
I'm sorry, Lady and the Tramp, yes. A movie I didn't like at all. No, I mean, I loved Lady and the Tramp. But I more than that, I did love 101 Dalmatians. That was a huge movie for me. And there was an animator, right, Bob, just on the spots on 101 Dalmatians. It was very difficult to keep those spots straight. And
I'm sure they definitely had a checker assigned to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know the guy who did that, and he went blind doing that movie, but it was still funny and worth it.
Still see spots to this day.
That's right. Now, this is the famous scene, and again, the animals actually act much more like animals than they do in Disney. They do that. I like the way they can't quite break the string of spaghetti that they have to struggle.
Well, that's Luigi.
It's accurate on so many levels.
Me and Santa's little helper used to be a team, but he never wants to play anymore since his bitch moved in.
I don't think we'd get that on today.
Is that true? You think it would be hard to get bitch on today?
I think it would be really hard to get that on, yeah.
Those bitches.
Yeah.
You know, we do this thing where we have Bart, you know, he just, wherever he can get away with cursing, he gets away with it. Either he'll look up curse words in the Bible, he'll say bitch when he knows it's okay to say
bitch. I love that with kids, that they try and find the legal outs.
Exactly.
Twins and a triplet. Homer, find a place for all these little men.
Now, this is a very cute sequence that's coming up that makes no sense whatsoever. It's just there for cuteness. Why would you need to do that? And then all I could picture, right?
Yeah.
And then all I could picture is these dogs going to the bathroom in the tea, coffee, and sugar. I mean, this is not a clean household.
Like this. How many more can there be?
22. 23. 24.
And this is the kind of screw the audience joke, where you think there are many, many, many more coming, and really there's only
25.
Only one more, because we didn't do 101, because that would have been insane. We originally had an ending where that actually killed the puppy, and it tested badly, and we pulled it out, and we made it cute.
Dogs! No bully will ever touch me again.
This is one of the dumbest ideas Bart has ever come up with.
Hey, jerk face! You have the face of a jerk.
Very poorly thought out.
Yeah, even the taunt was not clever on any level.
Say, Jimbo, hope it wasn't out of line with that jerk face crack.
That's a little bit of Woody Allen, Bob Hope, and maybe. Yeah, I guess Woody Allen, Bob. It's not really Jerry Lewis. It's and these are kind of, these become a freeze frame joke where you see.
And Woody Allen said he was doing Bob Hope.
He was. Woody Allen gives Bob Hope full credit for his entire screen persona. He does, and did retrospectives about Bob Hope and everything. Yeah, it's true.
Oh, homie, aren't they adorable?
Yes. We waited many years, but the good Lord.
And again, great animation by Bob on how annoyed the kids are.
Yeah, that's great.
Bob, you're good at making kids look angry. So, Bob, was this a lot of work to keep up with even this? Here's the scene Matt was talking about. And again, a great performance by Dan in 2 seconds when the cat shows up.
Get that cat out!
We're fairly united. By the way, in the first of the show, they really don't have much love for that cat.
No, not at all. Not, and really, they're mean to the dog. I mean, remember the dog got its stomach twisted and it ran away from home. I mean, there's a lot of sad. They're not great with their pets, actually. And
it's just easier this way.
Now, so Bob, was it hard to follow those?
Actually, there is one of the all-time great scenes.
Okay, here we'll watch this scene. This is just written as a series of these does, and it's done really great with the sound effects too, which is Travis, our sound effects man, is just amazing. But the ad lib that I love is when he says "this time," and I think that was from Dan. I believe it was.
Thanks. You're not just putting the new newspapers over the old ones, are you?
So, Bob?
Yes.
How was it with all those dogs?
25 dogs. Like you said, I'm glad you didn't make it 100 more. We'd probably still be working on it.
I have a note that says there's actually a shot that has 26 dogs in it by mistake, but I don't know if that's true or not. It said it on my thing.
But you have to check the internet.
We'll have to check the internet, yeah. It says there are 26 puppies eating from doggy dishes in the kitchen rather than 25.
Well, maybe the Simpsons can't count.
Maybe they can't.
Now, what kind of person would freeze a frame and count the number of puppies?
This was a joke I think I came up with, and it's so sad. I'm always excited to attack the old people who are alone. And I remember there was a discussion about whether it was too sad. And I look at it and go, well, it's accurate and funny and sad.
Yeah. And ironically, you live alone, and
that's going to be me. That's going to be me in about 3 months. But I implore anyone watching this, call some old people in an old home. Even if you don't know them, call them and hang up. No, call them and talk to them. Damn it, they're lonely there. And it's waiting for all of us. Keep that in mind. I'm going to forget that. Now this, I wonder if people understood that this was a sitcom parody, that we weren't saying this.
I was never sure. Yeah. Yeah.
This is really making fun of what we consider to be, you know, the average lousy sitcoms with these very big, stupid performances and things going wrong and a lot of exposition coming into characters' mouths and everything.
It's with the Reverend and his old army buddies.
Yeah, he's coming for dinner, which is like a classic cliche plot.
With the IRS, see you in hell.
Oh, the tax auditor. I forgot that's what he's there for.
We sure could use a pooch to guard.
It was lucky they had one of those long boxes. We used to have a scene that explained where that long box came from, but it got kind of long and took a long time.
It's a Christmas tree box.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay, you're right. That's exactly what it is. That looks exactly like one of my Christmas tree boxes.
They don't like being broken up. We've got to be realistic, kids. Who's going to have a big enough heart to take care of 25 puppies?
And I know the little fella.
That's a hello joke.
Hello.
That's what we call a hello joke based on mostly Laverne and Shirley when Lenny and Squiggy would come in, where someone would say a line that would then introduce sort of the wrong character in a way. It'd be the opposite of what you were expecting.
There's something about his face I don't trust.
Very subtle. Great, very subtle performances.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burns.
Now, the thing that doesn't make sense here, which is a cheat, and I don't know if anyone ever complained about it, but for absolutely no reason, when he says he's not going to take the puppies, the Simpsons leave the puppies alone. You'll see, we're just going to cut, and the Simpsons have left the puppies completely alone in the box so Burns can put them in a thing.
Brilliant scheme to get those puppies.
They haven't moved. Look, they're suddenly far away from the box. Homer's scratching, and they're just walking away, and they don't bother to turn around.
Because it's a really long box.
I think scratching his butt is sort of hanging a lantern on there. Very preoccupied business, yes.
So I don't think anyone's ever complained.
It was only the act break.
That was very nice. I liked the little subtle look under the napkin. I thought that was nice. And a very good performance by Hank Azaria's Chief Wiggum. The perfect level of non-interest and just being a cop, a hack cop, I guess is what he is. Now, how many? What kind of pets did you grow up with, Mike?
A cat That I was severely allergic to, but my mother couldn't part with.
Oh, that's interesting. Did she have the cat or you first?
I was there first. I was there first.
What was the kitty's name?
The cat's name was Sheba, and it lived for 22 years. I moved out before the cat.
Wow. Was, and you never got over your allergy? You didn't get any better?
No,
wow.
And my mother just couldn't bring herself to part with.
And you're still allergic to cats?
Oh, yeah.
We have a cat right here. Let's see what happens to Mike.
Oh, my God. Look at that. All puffy.
It's amazing the way he can't even see out of his eyes anymore.
And I had a dog that ran away.
When was that?
After like 2 days. It was a stray dog I found. I named it Rennie after Ren 1010. And 2 days later, it ran away again.
Wow. Wow. I had my first cat when I was about 6 years old named Kingston after the Kingston Trio. And then I've had I have a 22-year-old cat now, Wyndham, who, you know, maybe it'll be, Wyndham might be dead by the time you're hearing this. But she's in pretty good shape. And a cat before that from Three's Company, which we're talking about my credits. It was the first show big show that I worked on. And I wrote a show that had 14 cats in it. They were hiding pets from Mr. Furley, the wonderful Don Knotts. And we all took one of those cats home. And I took a cat that had an extra toe. And named him TC for Televised Cat, but also for Three's Company. And he lived to be 22 years old as well, and just died like about last year or so.
Polydactyl? Is that the word?
Yeah, polydactyl. That's right.
That was one of the oddest runs we'd ever done, the Rory Calhoun.
Rory Calhoun,
if you recall, I was arguing against it.
That's right, because you didn't think that anyone would know who Rory Calhoun was.
I didn't know who Rory Calhoun was.
But he's famous.
So not only did the joke stay in, but it became...
Yeah, the reference a zillion times, yes. Do you remember, Mike, where that came from?
Rory Calhoun? No, I don't recall. I don't recall.
I really did.
It sounds like George.
It could have been George. I think it was George might have had the idea for doing it. So we were talking about how to kind of gloss over the horrifying thing he was going to do to these dogs. And it might have come from George. I remember somebody suggesting if we do it in a song, it'll keep it fun and light.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to say, my memory of this song is that Mike came in with it, I think, completely finished, pretty much, wasn't it?
Just about. There was a couple other lyrics added, but
Mike really wrote this song, and I loved it from the beginning. I mean, he did a great job, and I was just listening to it again yesterday, and I was thinking the rhymes are really clever. They're really... It's one of our very best songs, I think.
Like my loafers, former gophers, it was that was skin my chauffeurs, but a greyhound for tuxedo would be best. So let's prepare these dogs.
Kill two for matching clogs.
See my vest. Oh, please, won't you see my vest? I really like the vest.
I gathered, yeah.
He's going to make a tuxedo out of our...
Sorry. Perfect little self-conscious comment on singing. Anytime we did a musical thing, I would like to put in a self-conscious moment that we knew, like on Homer and Pooh, everybody finishes singing and then very awkwardly sits down. You know, because musicals are so unnatural, it's fun to point that out instead of trying to deny it.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about The Simpsons is that we can do a show that just has one song in it.
Yes,
you know, and we don't go completely musical all the time. We'll just do one song, and that's plenty. And then we have fun with that, and then we're out.
No, it's dogs. I'll prove it.
This is a nice... I remember there was an argument because of how high we could hold the dog up before it became cruel.
Look, a laundry chute. Okay, guys, let's move.
And this is one of these... This is the kind of joke that George Meyer particularly loves, which is, we've done this... Where the door should be open a long, long time ago. We just keep playing with, because it's sort of, there are old movies where handles were jiggled for 12 minutes before someone actually come in.
Well, that one, it went all the way around.
It goes all the way around eventually, and then they come in. And then we also do a complete cartoony time cut here. Though there's some very nice kinetic animation here, Bob. I like that shot. And then they're there.
That's impossible. How did you get here first?
Oh, there'll be plenty of time for explanations.
That's great writing.
That's great writing. We knew how to write ourselves right out of that one.
Here's a phone. Call somebody who cares.
I really like that. Harry is so good at being so confident and then getting knocked, the wind knocked out of him in this perfect way.
Part of your tuxedo, you have to let the other dogs.
And yes, that Rory Calhoun basically becomes the whole key here. I do remember, Matt, that there was talk on the internet about who exactly Rory Calhoun was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was. But you see, we taught. We like to teach at The Simpsons. And that's you have to do the research to figure out who Rory is. And we've created a lot of new Rory Calhoun fans, yeah. I think. I mean,
well, the great thing was that it wasn't even a throwaway. We did a huge build-up.
It was a huge build-up and just zillions of references to him. They all stand up like Rory Calhoun. And then he's going to kill the kids. And they look like Rory Calhoun. So it's...
Yeah, there were 62 dogs in that chat right there.
All right, you win. I'll have to kill them all. But they're so rich.
We always like to have these false endings where you think that everything's all right as it would be, but then we take the character a little lower.
I can't do it, but I can kill you.
He wants to kill the children.
No, I can't kill you either. Look at you, standing there,
hiding,
like a couple of Rory
Calhouns. Oh, God.
Jesus.
I still hate that joke.
Sometimes when Matt hates a joke, I don't know.
I'm going to do a new audio commentary.
This is what I hate.
We should have a separate, the list of things that Matt hates.
No, but I like a few things.
You do. You like a few things.
But sometimes not that.
Sometimes after many years, he'll turn around.
That's true. It's true. There's things that I fought against that I come to love. That's true.
This is one of my favorite jokes.
I think this was your joke.
It was my joke. Yeah. It was one of my favorite things. The idea that Homer hung himself because he did give away $1 million dogs. He just totally did. And I remember I wanted the image of him hanging there, you know, and then I didn't know what the joke was after. I just wanted it to look like he had hung himself. And the light bulb is such a cheat to say that he likes to bat a light bulb. But it was that kind of stupidity is what got this show where it's gotten to. Which is in your home on DVD, people.
Did we talk about Frank Welker?
No, we didn't.
Let's talk about Frank Welker is the man for animal noises. You go to him, and he overcharges you, and and he's just fantastic.
They all basically sound like a cat. I don't know. Everything he does is...
No, he can do anything, and he really, and it fits perfectly, and you forget you're listening to a guy. I mean, he really
it's
sounds...
unbelievable.
He is, and a pleasure to work with, and we really do enjoy Frank, though he is expensive, so don't get any ideas, you people at home, to have him come over and do a night at a party, which he used to do a lot.